the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, my name is Dan at the American Freedom Network, and our regularly scheduled guest, Joel Skousen. Joel, are you there? Well, no, Joel Skousen. So hopefully Joel will call in very, very soon, and that means no Joel. Well, no program. Oh, do we have Joel Skousen? Hi, Joel.
Hi, how are you, Stan?
Doing fine. Just glad you're here with us. And now, for those of you who don't know Joel, he writes a weekly newsletter called Sunday World Affairs Brief, and goes into an analysis of the news. And you have to understand, you're not going to get the truth. The regular media, it's controlled. You need an outside help, outside interpretation. And that's what Joel does, is he analyzes the issues that are come up on a regular basis, but are certainly, most of them are effectively being being suppressed or the interpretation altered by the media, which is tightly controlled by the small group that controls our reality and is certainly shaping the course of our nation away from freedom towards this one world government and the destruction of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Joel, pick up the story.
Well, we're going to first of all talk about politics 4 years early. In fact, something quite extraordinary surfaced in the way kingmakers select candidates for a future election. Normally, as you know, Stan, they wait a couple of years prior to begin promoting a slate they want. In fact, it used to be in the Kennedy years that it was he only announced for the presidency a year before. And now the campaigning keeps getting deeper and deeper. This time it happened a couple of weeks after the recent election. In the past two election cycles, Mitt Romney has thrown a monkey wrench in the kingmaker's plans by inserting himself into what we now know is a closed election process that doesn't like uninvited guests. So last week, the establishment media started their propaganda campaign 2 full years early, listing all the top contenders for the 2016 Republican nomination. And incredibly, Mitt Romney, with the highest name recognition and visibility of any candidate, is nowhere to be found. Now, I predicted just that in the briefs, that the powers that be couldn't stop Romney's candidacy in 2012 like they did in 2008. So they went all out to make sure he didn't win, so that they could dismiss him as a loser and get rid of him for good. And that appears to be the strategy right now of all the media. Well, Romney and Obama had lunch yesterday at the White House in their first meeting since the election. Obama and Republican nominee are to meet in the White House private dining room on Thursday, fulfilling a promise Obama made in his victory speech on the night of November 6th. But the White House is saying that Obama has no specific agenda for the meeting. Rumors have surfaced that Romney is angling for a cabinet-level position, but I doubt it very much that he'll get it, even in a fairly non-politicized role, of which there isn't anything anymore. The powers to be don't want Romney to get any more notoriety. They want him to simply go away, and a high-level position in government doesn't serve that, even if it's something like House and Human Services, Health and Human Services. For Romney's part, he's simply following the recommendations of his advisors to appear bipartisan and non-bitter about the loss. He didn't even come close to challenging all the obvious vote fraud, as his advisors kept pushing him to take the higher ground, which in this case, of course, is the path of completely non-resistance to evil. Well, I think I've also discovered how I think they rigged the election against Romney beyond the obvious and widespread vote registration fraud by Democrats. In looking at the election figures, one thing has really always bothered me, Stan, and that is the claims that there was a vastly reduced turnout compared to 2008. Millions less voted, they claim. However, this election was far more contested than 2008, when Republicans had a lackluster and distrusted John McCain running. There's no way there would have been less enthusiasm this time around. Obama was running on change last time, and the Republicans had all but worn out their welcome in Washington with George W. Bush. Now people were screaming for real change, and they claim millions less showed up at the polls. But what we probably saw was vote manipulation at the tally end this year, where states send their vote tallies into a national database for counting, the same ones run by foreign corporations. It's a pretty simple task to eliminate numbers at that level, as long as no one requests a manual recount. So who would know? And the overall figures are suspicious. So that's, my feeling here now is that they really did decrease the vote and took away some from Obama and a lot more from Mitt Romney.
And I think, people must understand, all we know is what we read in the newspapers or see on television. We don't know what the vote was. All we know is what we're told by the controlled media. Go right ahead, Joel.
And, something else was very strange is the lack of exit polling. Normally when they publish exit polls during the election, and there was nothing this time. And I think that's what I've always said, that exit polling kind of keeps the election honest. They can't deviate more than about 10% from exit polling. And the fact they didn't publish any of those this time, which is a very different thing than normal, indicates that they may have been messing with the figures. It's also suspicious that exit polling, they admitted that they started doing telephone exit polling after the vote. Now, that is very suspicious because, that means that you can use your computer records of who voted what last time and call those people and get skewed voting, just like they skew the polls that way. People on the telephone don't know that they're being fed non-random names and numbers. We're looking forward to 2016. Here are the media picks according to Salon.com, which is echoed by many others in the news. Jeb Bush, the former Florida governor, is a white guy. But the Spanish-speaking Bush, whose wife, Columba, was born in Mexico, has close ties to the Latino community. And he has long been pushing for his party to stop acting stupid and moderate its tone and hard line on immigration. That's not the only area where they say the center-right Bush has broken with his party. He also broke with his party's staunch opposition to raising tax rates, saying that he would have supported a hypothetical deal which included $10 in spending cuts for every dollar in additional revenue. Well, Bush's last name has been expected to be something of a liability when he entered the 2012 race. His older brother left office just 4 years ago, and George W.'s post-presidency approval ratings still are very, very low. Bush would also have had to answer uncomfortable questions about his brother's legacy. But by 2016, these questions, along with Bush fatigue...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here. The American Freedom Network.
Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, ask everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be part of something great. This message from Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. Call 970-352-3255. 2233 970-352-2233.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, talking about the election and the election results. And, of course, as Joel points out, we don't know what happens. All we know is what we're told, and there are many, many questions. Why were there no exit polls? If they were exit polls, why weren't they reported? And why weren't they taken as people were leaving the voting regions? Why were they done by telephone later when you can skew them so strongly? Something's very strange about this election. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about who the media is pushing for the Republican nomination, and of course, very conspicuously absent is the name of Mitt Romney. And, you know, they're claiming he's too old, he's lost, and of course, that's what I predicted they want to do, is give him a losing reputation, so he'll go away. Now they're pushing the normal globalists like Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, which I just covered. Salon.com says if you had to pick an early favorite for the 2016 nomination, and we still got a long way to go, you could very well go with the first-term Florida senator and former Florida House Speaker Marco Rubio. They say he's a political savvy Tea Party favorite who offered a well-received keynote speech at the Republican National Convention. He's Cuban-American. And he is their best chance, they say, to connect with the fast-growing Latino voting bloc that broke overwhelmingly against Mitt Romney earlier this month. Well, I don't care if you pander to the Latino bloc. They're probably still going to vote mostly Democratic. But it would help, of course, if you had Marco Rubio, but not unless he pushes amnesty. And that's what they're essentially doing with this loss. They're saying, okay, Republicans, you lost big because you lost this Latino vote, so you're going to have to turn around and give amnesty. This just plays into the globalist agenda, this multicultural agenda, which is, in fact, you know, it's like slitting your own throat. The reason we lost, they keep throwing illegal aliens into the voting mix, and now we say we're going to make them all legal, and that's supposed to improve your chances? It won't improve it at all. Rubio's been circulating a draft immigration reform bill that party leaders hope will help bring Latinos and young people into the party. He, of course, claims to be against the for lower taxes and reduced regulations like all Republicans, but that really means nothing without the specifics. We must also remember that most notable change in Rubio this year was his emergence as a neocon in foreign policy, giving a saber-rattling speech at Brookings, a prime globalist venue. I think he's too green to be president, and they may well run him as vice president. Then they talk about Chris Christie. On paper, Chris Christie's all wrong for the GOP, they say. And I say, not just on paper, he's all wrong, period. The New Jersey governor, moderate, they call, and I say, read that as liberal. He has the liberal views on social policies that don't play well with the party's longtime base. And the fact that he's a white male doesn't help at a time when the party's trying to reach female and minority voters. And then they keep pushing the fact you got to run a woman, you got to run somebody who's a minority. Just a bunch of baloney. But that's what the establishment media pushes to Republican people. Yet Christie, they say, brings to the table something most of his party does not. He's got an everyman appeal that has allowed him to thrive in a blue state. And, of course, he's speaking of the fact that he's Republican governor in New Jersey, who could offer up, they say, a natural winning performance on Saturday Night Live. But Christie pulled off that feat with apparent ease. Well, that's because he's got the gift of gab, and he's a dominant yet uncontrolled in his weight. All signs that should warn people that this is an untrustworthy guy with many internal conflicts. Christie has managed to win over conservatives with a confrontational approach towards teachers' unions and other adversaries. While that's true, this posturing always tends to fool conservatives, mostly because they're so used to never having a powerful spokesman. But they also say he's got an uncanny bipartisan streak, most notably in his post-Sandy embrace of President Obama. Well, that didn't help the Republican Party nor Christie's view by conservatives. He's got a lot of funding coming from Wall Street people, so he'll be well-funded when he jumps into the race. It's not clear, they say, whether or not Christie, who likes to speak off the cuff, is disciplined enough to survive a presidential campaign process in which every comment is scrutinized as a potential gaffe. Well, and I also say that he's got plenty of skeletons in his closet that the powers that be would have to cover up. But I might say this, that if you are a preferred candidate by the establishment, they overlook your gaffes, whereas with Romney, they had to plant secret reporting devices in his private conversations in order to find enough dirt to be able to, you know, view him negatively in the campaign. They also give some due to Paul Ryan, because he was the vice presidential candidate. However, they say it doesn't help, however, that Ryan is a white male who's seeking the nomination during a period when his party is desperately trying to improve its standing with female and minority voters. There they go again, pushing that racial card, that minority card. It's a real racial put-down, and they don't want him either, but they have to include him in this list so that they don't appear biased. Then they say that he's a longtime Washington insider, which is nonsense. With little executive experience, they could open him up to charges that he lacks the experience necessary to run the country. Well, you know, that's very interesting. They might say that. Well, what experience did Obama have in executive? He hasn't had any experience in running anything at all until he became president, and he had no foreign policy experience either. Did you hear any news media criticizing him for lack of experience? No, they use this selectively for people that they want to put down. Well, they also talk about Nikki Haley, the 40-year-old Indian-American governor of South Carolina, who appears to be an unflinching conservative and also happens to be a woman in a minority, a combination that helped her rise, they say, to national prominence since she won the governorship in 2010. But they say, unlike Rubio, she's also stuck with, notice the pejority, stuck with the conservative wing of the GOP on immigration. She signed into law an anti-immigration bill that drew comparisons to the controversial Arizona legislation that set off the national debate. Well, I don't think they're going to allow Nikki Haley to be president. She's too conservative. However, she might make a good VP choice in order to heal any rift with the hard right conservatives who will be dissatisfied, certainly, with another Bush as president. Then they talk about Governor Bob McDonnell. Virginia's governor has built plenty of allies as chairman of the Republican Governors Association, and his military credentials and reputation for pragmatic conservatism, they say, could help him break out of a crowded field. Of course, you know, the liberals were always pushing the fact that if you're pragmatic, if you're moderate, that you can get ahead in the world. They keep trying to move conservatives to the center and then to the left. I don't personally have a lot of confidence in McDonald. I suspect he's inclined to play ball with the globalists. They promote then Governor Bobby Jindal, Arizona's another Indian-American politician who's built a reputation of competence while maintaining a solid conservative record. Well, it's not that solid, and he, you know, isn't even as conservative as Nikki Haley on most issues. On my assessment, he doesn't have the chance, doesn't have the charisma necessary as well to run. They do mention Senator Rand Paul, They say that Kentucky senator has maintained many of the same libertarian positions as his father, while forging a closer relationship with mainstream GOP. And that's what worries conservatives, is that he's, made friends with other liberal senators from Kentucky and elsewhere, trying to gain access, to political mainstream in the Republican Party and their leadership. I think Paul, however, will still be a major player and a champion of the Tea Party wing in 2016. The powers that be will not let him get the nomination. If he gets into debates, he'll be a serious contender that will have to be quashed, because he will enter and be the only one who will offer contrasting views to the establishment, just like his father did. He won't be as strong in positions as his father, but he will be much contrasting to the mainstream. Do you have any comments on those?
I agree with everything you've said. Go right ahead. I think the important thing for our listeners to understand is this whole Spanish issue. What they want to do is destroy the integrity of our nation by making us a multicultural, multilingual society. And certainly the Spanish are good, hardworking people, but certainly people coming from Mexico don't understand America. They don't understand that we have higher living standards and a prosperous nation because we limited the power of government. At least we did in the past. Now, of course, they've created a socialist society. We have far more socialism in the United States than they ever had in communist Russia. People don't understand that. And, of course, communism doesn't work. We can't afford what we're doing. We're having to borrow 40 cents of every dollar we spend to buy the support of the American people to back a social system that just doesn't work. But they also are utilizing the Spanish people, trying to bring them in, using the immigration issue, getting the illegal immigrants to vote for more government benefits, and this is going to destroy our nation. They want to destroy the integrity of this nation by making us multicultural and multilingual. What we need are Spanish people coming here who want to be Americans, to learn our language, to learn our ways, and to vote to limit the power of government. Because certainly there is no problem facing America today that another government law won't make worse. Go right ahead.
Well, it's more that they pushed a Fabian form of socialism here in the United States, as opposed to the Soviet Union, which had traditional socialism with actual government ownership of all the means of production, which we don't have here. But the result tends to be the same. They still let us own things. They just control it more and more. And that's the way that Fabian socialism works. And that's related directly to my next subject, which is the fiscal cliff, which is looming. As Bloomberg News noted, if Congress does not act, what is coming is $500 billion in net deficit reduction in the next year. 4/5 in tax hikes and only 1/5 in spending cuts. Note those percentages. They're weighted heavily in favor of taxes. There's going to be $7 trillion in deficits over the next decade, but only $500 billion this year. 400 of the total of $7.1 trillion, $4.8 trillion will be an increased revenue from higher tax rates on income, estates, and payroll. And I'll tell you, the estate tax is one of the most unjust taxes in the world, to take from people what they have earned all of their lives and don't allow them to pass it on to their children. It requires family farms to literally sell the farm in order to raise the money to pay the taxes. And that's one of the means of which they have destroyed family farms in this country. Now, if they let those taxes go through, I'm afraid it will be a disaster for politicians. Voters aren't going to tolerate either the cuts, unfortunately, or the taxes, except for the rich, which is a stupid and unfair but popular term, is tax the rich or tax the other guy. I expect that the Bush tax cuts will be renewed, except for the rich, and some magic compromise that will keep most across-the-board cuts from happening, just because there just is no... it's incredible how many people on benefits would rather say, I'd rather see the country go down and keep my benefits to the very last day that the country collapses than give them up voluntarily. That's the mentality, what I call benefit corruption, that we have in this country. Of course,
well, Joel, people do not understand that there are about 150 million Americans getting one form or another of government benefits, whether it be Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or welfare, or many of our major corporations get government subsidies, and certainly many of our banks certainly get subsidies. There's all sorts of things to actually provide money for the rich and for the poor. Almost 150 million people in one form or another are getting some sort of government subsidy, and most people just don't want to give that up over or get the money for the others, but we want to keep what we're getting. And Social Security and Medicare cannot be sustained because there are 79 million baby boomers retiring over this next 18 or 19 years, and there's no way that Social Security and Medicare can be funded unless we start killing off the elderly. And I would point out this is really already starting in our secular hospitals in America, just as exactly as it is over in England, where elderly people, they come in, they don't have to have a fatal disease, but many times they're put on what's known as comfort care. And that's when they start the narcotics that leads to the death in a few days. It's going on in America today.
Try Property Management in Greeley urges listeners, make this the year you get involved in the community. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, checking in on a senior, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. We can't save the whole world, but every little bit helps. This message has been from Try Property Management in Greeley, where Neil and staff are on the air saying happy holiday season to all.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley, ask everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be part of something great. This message from Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley, named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. Call 970-352-2233, 970-352-2233.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Here, morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a copy of your publication, and hopefully subscribe to it? Also tell them how they can get copies of your books on what, how to prepare for the coming period of chaos and crisis, which I believe lies ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is a weekly news analysis service on the web. There is a modest subscription price to support my work, so people can get a free sample issue prior to subscribing by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And they can look over many of the free articles that I've got, as well as a daily update of the top news stories at worldaffairsbrief.com. My other website, joelskousen.com, and there's a link right on worldaffairsbrief.com to this website, too. You have pictures and descriptions of my various books that I've written on preparedness. I've been in the profession of high security design and preparedness and consulting on strategic relocation for over 40 years. I was one of the pioneers in the field. I've written three books to help people prepare in case we aren't able to save ourselves from the problems of the decline of liberty, and we have to protect ourselves. My top-selling book, which is just nearing bestseller status, is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It's in its third all-color edition with the new section even on international retreating. Very, very popular book. My largest book is The Secure Home. And that is over 700 pages, covers everything in high security construction for new construction and remodeling, as well as total self-sufficiency with electricity, solar, battery power, and huge section at the end of sources of hard-to-find things that you can get. And the last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. It's an architectural plan book on doing a safe room inside an existing basement, and all three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and I hope we'll have those books on strategic relocation. I think we're a little short on them, but you can always call and order them. Anyway, we'll have them before long. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, everybody's short. We're sold out and receiving the first new printing, or the second new printing again today. So we'll have those to you so people can feel confident to order that you will have them in stock next week.
Good.
So let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the Israeli-Gaza situation. There's a lot of post-Gaza war maneuvers on the political front. Globalists are now pushing for an interim UN status agreement for the Palestinians, approving Palestine as a non-member observer state, falling short of statehood, which is their ultimate goal. The problem with statehood, and everybody would say, why would you be against statehood? Well, when you have a criminal terrorist record of sworn enemy of Israel, and it's like having an armed camp right in Israel, and that's what's been happening in the past 2 weeks where they've been launching rockets into Israel. You can't, you see, if you're an independent nation, then you've got all the rights to import all those weapons, you know, without any restrictions. And right now, Israel has a blockade around the Gaza Strip in order to keep them from bringing weapons in. The only hole or leak in that blockade is on the Egyptian side, of the Egyptian Sinai border with Gaza, and it's just riddled with tunnels. They haul in rockets and rocket parts and ammunition and weapons and bring them through the tunnels. Egypt claims and pretends to be doing their best to halt those things, but, you know, it's just a very small city. There's no way that you could, you know, if you really wanted to stop that, there's no way that they could get through. And so they're just kind of playing as if they're working. And of course, Egyptian President Morsi is has long been a supporter of Hamas. He's not going to stop them from getting weapons. So as I pointed out in last week's World Affairs Brief, the only way to stop this, and I say this on behalf of Arabs too, that, you know, the Arabs that live in Israel do have a better life than the Arabs in Gaza. It isn't just because the Gaza Strip has this blockade. It's not a total blockade. It's just an inspection blockade where you have to inspect everything getting into the blockade to keep it from having military use or having weapons. But clearly, as I've been to Israel many, many times and talked to Arabs, the Arabs in under Israel do have a restriction on their freedoms. They have to go through checkpoints in order to get to work because of the terrorist bombings and the other things that happen in Israel. But otherwise, they're free to start businesses. They have the same relationships with Israel in terms of there's no discrimination against Arab businesses versus Israeli businesses. And they do much better than those in the Gaza. In fact, there's a lot of people, Arabs in Gaza, that don't like Hamas and their strong arm tactics, but they aren't allowed to say so because of the absolute draconian spying that goes on among their own people, trying to ferret out anybody who has pro-Israeli sympathy. So the only way to resolve this is to ultimately take out Hamas, and you have to do that by actually going in and cleaning them out, cleaning out all the weapons in the depots, and then bringing them into Greater Israel, where they have a ring of protection of Israel around them, so that you cannot have terrorist actions anymore. You can't get explosives. You can't get weapons. Now, interestingly, I pointed out in last week's brief, the reason that the Israelis won't do that is that the Netanyahu administration, every administration since Benjamin or Menachem Begin, has been globalist in orientation. They don't really want peace. They want to maintain conflict, and that's why they never take down Hamas. That's why they didn't go in. They signed a ceasefire here, and they went in, or they didn't go in and clean out the weapons as they should have done. Even the last time when they did go in, house-to-house fighting, cleaning out some of the weapons, they stopped short. The United Nations, the U.S., and NATO always pressure Israel to stop short, and Israel is more than happy to comply now because they go along with that, of wanting to have conflict. And what's the ultimate purpose? The ultimate purpose, and that's what has to do with the latest political maneuvering about getting Palestinians in to be a full member of the UN, is that then when Israel attacks Palestine, the UN has the what they claim is the right to intervene militarily to stop Israel from attacking Palestine and to put peacekeepers in there. And that's what they're ultimately wanting. Even this halfway measure of getting non-member observer status will allow, they believe, Palestine to have membership in the World Court. That means they can start to bring challenges against Israeli leaders for going up against Hamas. It's just a very, very, you know, incremental slope towards getting Palestinian statehood. Of course, the U.S. is attempting, they claim, to limit the impact of this. But I believe that ultimately the U.S. wants Arab statehood so that they can continue this this conflict. They have to appear, of course, because of the strength of the Israeli lobby, to always be on behalf of Israel, but the U.S. has always played both sides and not been a reliable partner in these things. Well, Hamas has immediately gone back to rearming itself under the umbrella of the ceasefire signed this week. God says, really, Hamas will not stop arming itself, the AP reported, because, quote, only a strong arsenal, not negotiations, can extract concessions from Israel.
Hold the thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Wisconsin.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Dan, American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And I think people must understand, you know, where did Hamas come from? It was organized by Israel and the United States many years ago. Does Israel dominate the American government in Washington, D.C.? No. Israel is simply a satellite of our government. But the average person doesn't understand what's going on. Where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? It was organized by British MI6 back in 1928. And, of course, we have backed, the American government has backed Muslim Brotherhood for years. And now we're consolidating all of the Near East and the Middle East under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. And none of this makes any sense unless you understand we create the best enemies money could buy, because there is a force within our government that wants to bring about certainly a world government, and I believe we're going to have another great war. It's only not a matter of if, but when. Go right, and that war will be with the Muslim world. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I can certainly attest to what you say. It's incredible to me how far-sighted these globalists are in being able to create conflict years in advance, generations in advance of the people who will actually experience and lead this conflict. I mean, you think about MI6, you know, creating these enemies way back in the 20s and having them finally come to fruition. Well, the new Egypt under the Muslim Brotherhood is in shambles. Egyptian President Morsi took immediate advantage of the boost in prestige given him as a broker of peace in Gaza to grant himself radical new powers, which put him at odds with the judiciary, which is composed of holdovers from the Mubarak regime. Pakistani news agency says they filed a report that they find it surprising the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton publicly praising the man currently leading Egypt, who's an Islamist who has not found favor in high places previously. And it just shows, you know, they play both sides. They claim like they're against the radical Muslim Brotherhood and against terrorism, and yet they embrace them when they bring them to power. They're very, very good at switching sides. Of course, she praised Mohamed Morsi for brokering this peace, but in fact, he didn't broker it. He was really invited in by others to broker it. They essentially were wanting to raise the prestige of Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood by allowing them to broker it. They didn't need to broker this peace. They didn't need this ceasefire at all. Israel should have, in fact, have gone in and cleaned out Hamas. But Morsi is on tenuous ground there in Israel. He won by a slim margin. Almost half of those who voted did not vote for him. These people fear that he will take the country to the fundamentalist view. Minorities like Coptic Christians, which are a very large percentage of, or a very large minority in Egyptian life, will be once again vulnerable and open to persecution, and civil rights will be eroded. Morsi is already trying to impose Sharia law by edict. Economically, Egypt is a basket case and is going to need a helping hand, they say, from the IMF, and that means U.S. taxpayers. Well, the role that Morsi played in the ceasefire, although it's being noted positively by the globalists, it is not being viewed positively by those in Tahrir Square on Friday afternoon, surrounded by security men. Morsi spoke to the crowds, but he has, in fact, been very unpopular because of these things, and the military is threatening once again to intervene in the country if he doesn't abide by, you know, the judicial and the assembly mandates. Meanwhile, they're trying to put together a new constitution. And they just, you know, these new constitutions they put together are socialist constitutions, which have built-in conflict between minorities trying to grab for benefits and rights and protections. They cannot ever agree within these parliamentary systems, and so they fill the constitution with imprecise language, and which is always dangerous in a constitution and leads to eternal conflicts in the courts. And then when they don't like what the court says, they either try to dismiss the courts or overcome them. Islamists dominate the assembly right now, and almost all the political opposition has walked out. It doesn't allow for a good system of engaging the opposition. And the assembly's chairman, who's working on this constitution, has started the session with a vote to replace 11 out of 24 members who boycotted the session in protest over these tactics. And it's typical now to load the bench in one's favor so that you can pass these things more easily. Well, Morsi's attempt to claim new powers and the rising protests are both prompted by a pending court ruling that could short-circuit the writing of the Constitution or a new military coup. And, of course, the military has long been aligned with the West and could very well take out Morsi. And meanwhile, there's a lot of psychological operations going on against Syria. I think it's looking very bad for Syria. It didn't take long for the West to stop worrying about Gaza and renew their attacks on Syria. This week, with renewed arms and material crossing from Turkey, the Syrian opposition army took over a military base, interdicted the roads to the airport, and with the help of Western agents, cut off Syrian internet and communications. For the first time in the campaign, it looks as if Syria may be in real danger of falling. And as I have said in the World of Press Briefs, this is a critical thing for the U.S. to achieve because the attack on Iran has been held off in deference of getting rid of Syria first. And that's because in retaliation for the attack on Iran, Iran and its allies in Syria especially has most of the missiles that could do a great deal of damage to Israel.
I think people forget that Syria has chemical and biological weapons, those weapons they got from Saddam Hussein that we provided for Saddam. So this is a very real concern, the fact that if the terrorists take over there, why they're going to have the chemical and biological weapons that Assad has kept from being utilized against Israel. Go right ahead.
Well, that's one of the excuses the U.S. is using for intervening in Syria, to keep them in falling in you know, rogue hands. But in fact, you know, they're in safer hands right now with the Syrians. But, you know, the Israelis are at risk. But they're at risk because of aggression against Iran, and it will be aggression against Iran. And I'm not supportive of that. In fact, most Israelis are not in support of attacking Iran. But this is a globalist agenda, and it has to do with continuing to paint the U.S. and NATO as the bully of the world, and that's why they're doing this. It's not to put democracy into Iran. It's not to remove nuclear weapons. The U.S. helped Iran get nuclear weapons. So this is the height of hypocrisy to be decrying it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
We're out of time, Joel. God bless. We'll talk to you again next week, right here at the American Food Network.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
Thank you. At RAM, we don't think it's the calendar's job to say when the work is done. We think it's up to the truck. So while the other guys are shutting down for the holidays, Ram trucks are firing up their available 390-horsepower Hemi V8 and Cummins turbo diesel engines and working overtime. This is a great time to get a great deal on a great truck right now at the Ram Big Finish event.
Now get 0% financing for 60 months or $7,200 in total values on the 2012 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Values include $3,200 Bighorn package discount and $4,000 cash allowance. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. 0% APR financing for 60 months equals $1,667 per month for $1,000. Finance for well-qualified buyers through Ally regardless of down payment. Residency restrictions apply. Offers end 12-3.
Well, basically, of course, the world is run by far different people than most people imagine, and what you think you know just isn't true. Basically, if you want to have and justify a powerful government in Washington, D.C., you have to have enemies, and the American people are willing to pay the taxes to maintain a massive military to protect us from the wicked communists, the wicked Nazis, the wicked terrorists, of the wicked Muslim Brotherhood, all of which we financed from their inception. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have between 50 and 100,000 copies out there. You need to get it. You need to distribute it. If you want to get them in bulk, we'll sell them to you at discount prices, but we need to get the information out. Going into how, it was the Lord Milner, who is certainly one of the founders of what became the Brotherhood of Darkness, who undermined the Russian Tsar back in 1917 and helped to bring the communists to power. We've created the best enemy, and we financed the communists since their inception, certainly after the so-called phony fall of communism in 1990. Why, of course, it was American corporations, the U.S. Agency for International Development, the U.S. East Asian Development Corporation, all funded with your tax money, that provided the funds to drill the oil wells and the gas wells in Russia, that has made them the largest exporter of a producer of both oil and natural gas in the world, far exceeding Saudi Arabia. But you're not told these things. And then, of course, we've helped to finance the Chinese communists, all the time pretending that they were the enemy. We brought the communists to power in communist China. And, of course, we financed Saddam Hussein. In fact, Saddam Hussein was a CIA agent back in the 1950s when he was trained as an assassin. Wasn't a very good assassin. As a matter of fact, he didn't like killing people, but we trained him, and he eventually became a mass murderer. We helped him to power in 79. We financed him all during the 1980s. We gave him the chemical and biological weapons he used to kill 100,000 Kurds and 1 million Iranians during that time. But nobody tells you these things, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, we overthrow Saddam Hussein, and we're told that he's dead. After all, we saw the pictures on television. We know it's true. Or is any of what we've been told true? Do we live in a make-believe world where we are certainly doing everything we can to now build up the Muslim world in preparation for the coming war against them, exactly as we build up the Nazis in preparation for the World War II? And if you want to know World War II, you need to get the book America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. America's Nazi Secret, absolutely essential to understand what's going on today. And my interviews with John Loftus, The War Against the Jews, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, those 3 items will help you to understand what's going on. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty and maintain our network of stations across America, where you can hear us almost 24 hours a day, either live or archive programs at our website, RadioLiberty.com. If you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, get our four best tapes of the month, our CDs, and our newsletter, and help us financially, we'd appreciate it. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired of